This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on this Sports Saturday, March the 14th, Pi Day, we have WSMI's Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins, and Carlinville Athletic Director and Head Girls Basketball Coach and Math Teacher Extraordinaire, Darren Deneve. Good morning, gang.
Good morning. We tried to get Danny Tartable in studio, but he was locked up with some sort of telethon. So we got the next best thing, Darren Deneve, in studio here on Pi Day. And in true mathematics fashion, Darren, you've got a shirt, Carlinville Mathletics.
Absolutely. We started a math team this year in Carlinville and went to a regional in Edwardsville a couple weeks ago, and we hope it'll be an annual thing.
Talk a little bit about this math team. Scholastic Bowl, of course, is a fairly popular and big thing around the state, an officially sanctioned IHSA sport, if you will. The math team, not so much, but it sounds like something that, as you know, we move forward here, that really could have some legs.
Well, it's been going on for years and years in Illinois. The Illinois Council of Teachers of Mathematics, the ICTM, hosts a math contest. It just so happens that our little pocket of the state doesn't have a whole lot of schools that participate. But this year, we jumped in, and we were able to go to a regional contest in Edwardsville, and the kids enjoyed it, so I think we're going to continue to go.
Talk a little bit about that experience. Of course, you've been around athletics your whole life. You've seen how super sectional basketball finals work, how state basketball tournaments work, these various things. What was it like for the kids in terms of the experience that they got there?
They've been to some other academic competitions, you know, like you say, Scholar Bowl, and we have something called WISE, which is a math and science and English competition that we've always done well in. But so they're used to it. They show up, they take a test in their subject area, but then there are also team competitions where you work together in a group of eight or sometimes a group of five or even a partnership, and you'll get problems, and whoever can solve them, you know, accurately and quickly is the team that wins. And so it's a good experience. It's not exactly a spectator event,
and whistles and make it a spectator event, Darren. I mean, you know, if it's not sanctioned by the IHSA, we can do whatever we want.
That sounds good. We'll have the first annual WSMI math contest next year. We can host it there on West Main in Carlinville. It'll work out just fine.
There you go. On Pi Day, yeah.
So, of course, Darren was good enough to actually bring in a pie today, so that's very nice. And this is a Pi Day for the ages. Anyone listening right now, none of us are going to be around when it happens again.
Yeah.
Darren, take it away. Talk about the details here and why this day is so special.
You know, I was joking earlier. Most of these coaches that come to sit in studio, they come when their team has gone to the state tournament or so. But it's nice that I'm the resident math nerd, I guess.
Math is the language of the universe.
Absolutely, absolutely. But pi is an irrational number that its decimals go on forever and ever. But its first so many decimals are 3.1415. 9, 2, 6, 5, 3, etc. So this year at it's March 14th at 9:26 and 53 seconds. It's about as good as it gets for the whole century in terms of pi. So that's what's going on today.
So there will never be a bigger moment in this century than 20 minutes from now.
My life is about to change. So.
19 minutes from right now. From right now.
Something like that. Yeah.
So we'll have some fun with that throughout the day, of course, here on Sports Saturday. Big weekend for the IHSA, of course, as they are wrapping up the 1A and 2A boys basketball season. A couple of good semifinals in 1A yesterday at Peoria's Carver Arena. Mounds Meridian, they took down Forest in 50-35. Brimfield then over Colfax Ridgeview 53-34. So that sets up Mounds Meridian and Brimfield for the 1A title this afternoon at 2 o'clock in Tyrone Nesby Jr. Is on Mounds Meridian. And, of course, his father, Tyrone Nesby, was on Cairo back in 93 when the Bulldogs were up there. They got third place that year.
By the way, the guys that refereed the first game yesterday, Big Al Pogumpole, one of our sponsors.
I thought I saw him there.
Along with Chad Waterman and Torrey Points from Auburn. So, And they'll probably get the 2A championship tonight.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
It's always, you know, it's always such a big deal for those officials whenever they work their way up there, because they're getting graded throughout the season just like everyone else is. And Darren, I think as a coach, you send in a report after each game on the officiating.
There's two aspects of it from the coach's perspective. You have to compile what they call a top 15 list of your officials for each sport. And then, like you say, after each contest, you're able to rate the officials from 1 to 5. I'm told that each of those things is 1/5 of some formula the IHSA uses to determine postseason assignments. I'm not exactly sure.
Math.
I'm not exactly sure what the other 3/5 are, but I guess that's 40% of it is what the coaches say. And the other 60%, I'm sure, has something to do with experience and that sort of thing.
Well, maybe they ought to let coaches determine the IHSA geography.
I'd be curious to sit in that room, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a rhyme and a reason for it, but sometimes it's hard to figure it out. That's quite a formula.
It's a big state.
It is a big
state.
Of course, the 1A tournament really has a good representation of North, Central, and South, which isn't necessarily always the case and certainly won't be the case next weekend when we get in to the big schools. For Class 2A yesterday, the semifinals saw Decatur St. Teresa take care of Rockridge 50-39 in the first semifinal. And then last night in the nightcap, Chicago Uplift out of the public league, they hammered Modern Day 72-50. And it really didn't even feel that close as Uplift and St. Teresa for the final. So public league versus St. T.
Modern Day couldn't make a free throw to save their life. They were just off, and I think Uplift's defensive pressure had a lot to do with that.
Well, that was one of those games where there were passes that Modern Day was making that were getting stolen that I'm sure did not really get stolen all year long, just speed and athleticism.
This is, what, St. Teresa's first state appearance in 20 years, something like that? It's been a while, I think. So. I think because Dave Kane was talking about, but them and I think Modern Day as well, both making a state final appearance or state appearance in a long time.
Rock Ridge, isn't that? Isn't that where the railroad is going through?
You could be right there.
You're too young, Tim. That's a Blazing Saddles joke.
I thought it was a Blazing Saddles joke.
Never mind.
Randy Prang, you probably just swerved off the road. That's one of his favorite movies.
I'm sorry. I should be talking about basketball. You're right.
Not necessarily.
Well, if you can't talk basketball, talk Blazing Saddles. You know?
That's all right. That's exactly right. We're not having beans today, though. We're having pie. Hopefully we haven't had too much.
I think you've had enough.
So, of course, the 1A and 2A state championship games this afternoon and tonight. For the big boys, they are getting set for super sectional play next week. And in Class 3A, sectional championship games played last night. It was Altoff Catholic over Carbondale, 77-72. Muhammad Seymour got past Lanphier, 71-70. Morgan Park over Bogan, both out of Chicago, 73-66. It was Westchester St. Joseph by forfeit over North Lawndale, 2-0. Old North Lawndale, of course, Terry, they were up at state those years. Nokomis was there a few years back. They were apparently suspended from the competition. They had a fight with Marshall. Wednesday night's game. That's what it says here.
Amazing.
A clock issue on the first shooter or something. I don't know. Other than that, no concerns were brought up.
and we'll never really know the truth, will we?
That's right. Another fine display of sportsmanship.
North Lawndale.
What about attitude? I wonder what he thought of that.
I don't know.
Old attitude. Okay. Anyway, we move on to the sectional final at Park Forest Rich East last night. It was Hillcrest out of Country Club Hills over New Lenox Way East, 40-37. Manuel over Peoria Notre Dame, 47-36. It was Rockford Lutheran over Marengo, 69-58. St. Patrick out of Chicago over Lake Villa Lakes, 48-33. And those were the sectional finals out of 3A last night. In 4A sectional finals last night, it was Aurora West over Hinsdale Central, 60-55. Roselle Lake Park over Arlington Heights, 58-39. Riverside Brookfield got past Morton, 66-61. Chicago Simeon over St. Rita, 74-70. It was Bowling Brook over Naquequa Valley, 59-56. Geneva over Rockford Auburn, 65-62. At Pekin last night, Normal Community ended Alton's season 48-36. And Lincolnshire Stevenson, the odds-on favorite to win the 4A title. They defeated Lake Forest last night in the sectional 57-49. And if you haven't had a chance to see that young guy from Stevenson play, whoo.
He's awesome.
Jalen Brunson. Yep. He'll be at Villanova next year.
Yeah.
It was down to Villanova in Illinois.
It's been happening a lot lately. Team A in Illinois. Good thing for Gross, though. He's in the conversation.
He's in the conversation.
Yeah.
You got to get in the conversation first.
That's right.
And then work your way up. Baby steps. We need a break here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We are counting down to the official mark of pi.
Hey-o.
It's coming up
shortly.
We'll be back with more in a moment.
We continue with WSMI Sports Saturday. Once again, Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins, and Coach Darren Deneve.
All right, Terry Tote, thank you very much. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. When's the official pie time, David, again?
9:26:53.
So there you go. Inside of 10 minutes. Darren Deneve joining us in studio here. Of course, he is. What's your official title at Carlinville besides athletic director? Well, math teacher, or is it more than math?
No, I'm a math teacher.
Just math? There's no fancier word?
He's the math guru.
The arithmetic guru?
I suppose. I teach, you know, we have an AP calculus course that I teach. We teach what we call Algebra 3 and trigonometry. Those are pre-calculus courses. I teach a statistics course. All those are through, they're dual credit through Lewis and Clark, so the kids can walk out of Carlinville with 15 credit hours of mathematics by taking all my classes if they like.
And throughout the basketball season, Darren, you know, when we'll be talking before ball games or maybe at the holiday tournament, you know, you'll talk about academics will come up and you will just mention how those classes you teach and how so many of your kids that are on your team are in those classes, and not just in those classes, but doing so extremely well in those math classes. So talk a little bit about this group of seniors that you had this year. Everyone knows kind of what they did on the athletic field, whatever the sport may be, but you see these kids every day in the classroom, so you have a real good sense for who they are.
Definitely. I had a great group of seniors this year. Megan Staten and Kathleen Kelly and Carly Kuhlenkamp are all in my AP calculus classes, and they do very well. They're all extremely good students. Talisha Scott is in my statistics course, and she's a good student as well. So they're all earning college credit. I see them every day. Taylor Hannig was a senior this year for us. She's in my statistics course. So all five of my seniors are in my math class earning college credit this year. You know, on the boys' side, there's lots of them that are in the same category. You know, Job Easterday, who I'm sure you remember. Job. Job's a calculus student. Bryce Despain's a baseball player for us. He's a calculus student. I'm going to miss some folks. But almost all of our students, if you see them on the athletic arena, there's a lot of them that are, you know, really good students and taking advantage of the fine academic program we have at Carlinville.
And not that it never happens, but I would think from a coaching perspective, it's nice to not have to worry if your kids are going to be eligible to play.
I've been in Carlinville 9 years. I haven't had one girls basketball player who was ineligible for any week. And so it's, like you say, it's something I suppose I almost take for granted, but I really shouldn't. I haven't had any trouble in 9 years, and my freshmen, sophomore, juniors are all good students as well. And so it's definitely an honor to work with those kinds of kids.
Does it seem like it's been 9 years for you?
Oh, no. No. This is my 22nd year overall coaching, and it's hard to believe. But 9 years is a lot. We came when my son was just ready to enter kindergarten, and so this fall he'll enter high school. And so it's gone fast, that's for sure.
And of course, you've been now through 2-4 full years of Kelly girls. So that when you look at it that way, does that make it seem longer or make it seem faster?
I don't know. I tried really hard to not compare the two, really, as time went along. I mentioned to Mike and Lisa, their parents, the other day that I was really hoping they had a third one. but it doesn't seem to be the case. So I don't know. It was two different groups. They both happened to be lucky enough to be in a good group that they had with them. You know, Elizabeth had girls like Nikki Benny and Savannah Bates and Allie Goodman and Cameron Walton and so on. And Kathleen has these seniors that we just mentioned. And they were just both very lucky to have a good group with them. And they weren't just good athletes with them. They had really, really good girls with them. And so we've had two very special groups go through. And we're hoping for more, obviously.
Of course, Elizabeth had such a spectacular career across the board. But Kathleen ended up doing something that Elizabeth never did. Won 2 county titles.
Absolutely. I'm sure she's told her that. It's kind of funny, you know. And again, I really haven't compared them. But it turns out that Kathleen just tied Elizabeth's block shot record. And so they are our career block shot record holders together.
That's neat.
And so that's kind of neat for Kathleen. Kathleen actually holds the single season record for block shots. So, you know, Kathleen had a fantastic career. You know, she's our fourth all-time leading rebounder, career leader in block shots. Played 114 games, her and Megan both. Played 114 varsity games, which is every game since their freshman year. And so that's pretty neat, too.
You know, for Kathleen, she certainly had a different level of expectation coming in just because of her last name. But when you watched her play, she didn't score the basketball, but that wasn't her job. She did, like you said, so many other things that without the things she was doing, you guys wouldn't have won the types of games you did over the years.
Absolutely. She's a fantastic defender. She could really guard any position, point guard on down, and is athletic and quick. She made more hustle plays than just about anybody. My favorite play, I tell the girls, is when we have a breakaway layup, and even though we'd like them to make each breakaway layup, if we happen to miss a breakaway layup and somebody has hustled down to the point where they're going to get that ball and then put it back in, that's my favorite play. It really, you know, it shows that we're putting on some good defensive pressure. It shows that we're hustling. And Kathleen made more of those baskets than anybody I can remember. And so she was always a hustler. And so really easy to coach. And it was just a pleasure to have her.
Darren, didn't Kathleen always get the toughest defensive assignment?
For the most part, yeah. Her and Carly Kuhlenkamp this year in particular, if the other team's best player was a guard, a lot of times we'd put Carly on her, but that doesn't mean Kathleen didn't do it when Carly was out of the game. But Kathleen definitely had some tough defensive assignments. You know, Megan was a good defender too, and so like if we were guarding, say, Litchfield Lincolnwood, Megan had the honor of guarding Abby Brockmeyer and so on. So each girl really had their chances to guard other teams' best players, but Kathleen was rarely given a weak defensive assignment, that's for sure.
And, of course, with Megan, it wasn't just she was, you know, playing the basketball game at a high level. She's coming out, she's singing the national anthem before the game.
She sings the national anthem. She's in the band. The school musical is next weekend, and she is Miss Dolly Levi, you know, the lead of the play. So Megan is truly one of a kind, and she's going to do a great job, I'm sure.
I'll always remember Megan for the county 2 years ago when I was at Bunker Hill when she went crashing into the bleachers in the final against Southwestern and just gets up and waves her hands like beauty pageant style. I'm okay, don't worry.
Yeah. you can't help but smile when you're around Megan. She's fun to watch, fun to be around, fun to have at practice.
She's like a coach out there on the floor with the amount she talks.
She definitely talks. When on the rare occasion where she missed practice because she was sick or something, the gym was very quiet. So she's a good leader, that's for sure.
Coaches like talkers, there's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're counting down to the official mark of pie. We'll come back in a moment.
Well, one of the advantages of producing today's broadcast is the fact I've already eaten my pie. It's delicious. Thanks, Darren.
You're welcome.
Yes, officially Pie Day, and we are coming up on exactly 53 seconds right now.
We are go for launch, Houston.
We are go for launch. So it'll be 314-15-92653.
92653.
You know, if you need a way to memorize that, there's a mnemonic device. If you say, how I want to drink, alcoholic, of course, after the heavy lectures involving quantum mechanics. If you count all the letters in those words,
oh my,
you know, like how I want. See, that would be 314.
Oh, okay.
Can we
down the line? And then if you need to memorize some digits of pi,
wow.
The PG version, you can change the word alcoholic to chocolate, yeah. And it's the same number of letters. But there you have it.
Does it involve the Heisenberg principle? That's what I want to know.
I'm not familiar with the Heisenbergs like you are, I guess.
See, Darren, I wanted you to draw some nice pi knowledge, and you did it. You did not disappoint at all.
Well, I'm here for a reason, I
guess. That's right. You brought it just in time, and here we go.
Here we go, kids.
3, 2, 1. Bam.
Bingo. Hey. Happy Pi Day.
I hope you enjoyed that, because we're all going to be dead the next time it happens.
Hey.
Like over next century, right? Like a century?
Was it good for you guys?
I loved it.
Okay. It's a life-changing experience. I don't know how anything will ever
like, literally,
be the
if you blinked, you missed it.
So.
It's done and over.
What a rush.
Just like that. I don't think I can continue.
No.
I got this sugar rush from the pie. Oh, the exhilaration of the official pie marking. Well, that was fun.
Yes.
So what was that mnemonic device again?
How I want to drink, alcoholic, of course, after the heavy lectures involving quantum mechanics.
Mm. My goodness.
Did you leave this yardstick here on purpose so I could measure stuff?
Absolutely. Well, you are a math teacher.
Thank you. You guys think of everything.
The studio's under construction, so we had to take a few extra steps.
Darren, you know, a lot of us who have been out of school for a while forget what pi is and what we use it for.
Pi if you want to sound intelligent, you'll say that pi is the ratio of the circumference to the diameter in any circle. The ratio of the circumference to the diameter in any circle.
Okay, I'm not smart enough to say that. So
and most people will just tell you, they'll just think that it's 3.14, which is just an approximation. Terry, you're probably old enough to wear
22 sevenths.
I was going to say, they probably used 22 sevenths when you were in school, and they stopped doing that. I remember doing it only when the problem involved a multiple of seven. So anyway, they did it for me. These guys probably never remember using 22 sevenths. They stopped doing that when I was in elementary school.
Randy and I were talking this morning about using slide rulers. Instead of calculators.
Yeah, I'm not old enough for that. But I had a student. I had a student that did it actually when I was in Stillman Valley. I had a fifth grader taking trigonometry. And he was just a genius. They would bus him over for math class, and he was unbelievable. And someone had taught him to use a slide rule, and he thought it was funny to use the slide rule faster than his classmates could use their calculator. he was a piece of work. One day I was doing a lesson on functions, and I'm trying to be the corny math teacher, and I say, hey, kids, what's the first three letters in the word function? And, every 17-year-old in the room says, oh, fun, Mr. Deneve. And little AJ is in the back room just waving his arms as much as he possibly could. Mr. Deneve, Mr. Deneve. And I said, what, AJ? And he goes, it's also the first three letters in the word funeral.
So keeping it light.
I don't know what he's doing now, but he was definitely a sharp kid.
He's probably at MIT.
He's probably 30 years old. I'm old. He's probably 30. I bet he's about 30 years old by now.
Probably in a bunker underground working on something that we'll know about in 20 years.
Could be. Who knows?
Oh, man. So, Dan, talk a little bit. How did you decide that you wanted to be a math teacher?
It's something I had a talent for. It was math, and I always liked sports. And so, like a lot of coaches, I try to figure out a way that, I wanted to be a coach. And so the best way to do that is to be a teacher. And so I went into education, and like I said, I had a skill for math. So that's pretty much what it amounted to. It's just a love of math and sports, and so it's something I'm able to do both of every day.
Did math always, was it always kind of a natural thing for like when you were in school, like junior high, going through high school? Was it one of those things that just kind of just clicked for you?
There were times I struggled, especially, once I got into college and so on. But for the most part, it's come relatively simple for me compared to some. But, you do reach a wall sometimes. I always say as a teacher, it's sort of my job to make you think that your wall is a lot further away than you think it is. And so we try to do that.
Isn't that what you do with coaching?
I think that's true, too. That's true. Coaching is teaching. There's no doubt about it. And so I agree. It's just something I've always enjoyed, always been good at.
And, Darren, one comment you've made in the past is that you enjoy practice with the kids because it is a teaching session.
I've really gotten to where I like practice a lot better than the games. There's no doubt about it. You're teaching, you're improving. If it sounds simple, but if your team or a player just simply gets better over time, that's really when this world of education gets rewarding. And so, you get most of that work done in practice.
And you hear the coaches that have done it for a long time talk about when practice isn't fun anymore, that's when they know that it's time to step away.
I think that's I hear that a lot. I have pretty much come to the conclusion when I feel like I don't want to go to the games anymore is when it's going to be done. Because I really don't think I'm ever going to tire of practice. But the games sometimes, they're stressful. There's no other way to put it.
You don't got gray hair yet.
So losing is stressful. Winning is stressful. If you start to win a lot of games, you start to put pressure on yourself. There is pressure from other folks, but really in high school, it's the pressure you put on yourself more than is anything else. And so it's a stressful situation. There's some sleepless nights, whether you're winning or losing. So I really don't think I'll tire of practice, but the games sometimes make me wonder, that's for sure.
The thing about Carlinville that I just noticed as an outside observer looking in, you seem to really have good support, though, from the administration. You see Mr. Kelly at all the games. You see Mr. Drew, the principal, at all the games. You don't necessarily see that at every school, but, boy, it just seems that everyone in Carlinville is kind of pulling the same direction.
Oh, I agree. I've been fortunate enough, as we mentioned, to have Mr. Kelly's daughter, so he's always at our games. Mr. Kuhlenkamp is a middle school principal. His daughter's on our team. They're sports-minded people, Pat Drew. We always have the support of our administration, and you know, you can't really measure that. It's a nice place to work, there's no doubt.
I'm just always amazed when we show up for the holiday tournament, you know, the Christmas break, but all the administration people that you would expect to see there on a normal weekday are there during that holiday break.
Sure, and Ken Garrison plays a role as well, and you know, does a lot of supervision. And the holiday tournament requires a lot of people, period. And so, you know, they're all there.
Love the holiday tournament, though. It's worked out great.
Well, you get free sandwiches and whatever.
It's a beautiful
thing. It would work out.
That's this new AD, he did some radical things there, like where he moved like the girls' championship game,
which was a brilliant idea.
I don't know who made that decision, but hats off to him.
You get lucky every now and then. You know what? What is it? A blind pig finds an acorn.
You can go pig, squirrel, whatever. Either way,
the pigs don't eat the acorns.
Well, the squirrel finds the acorn, and then the pig finds the squirrel.
Okay.
Circle of life, and on it goes. I don't want to know what catches the pig.
You're more of a farmer than I am, so I guess I'm going to trust you on that.
Yeah, they just get a little bit bigger.
But Tim deals with beef.
That's right. Maybe the cow catches the pig.
Well, yeah, that was a good deal. You know, in the last 2 years, we've structured it to where the girls and boys are playing back-to-back. You know, the Carlinville girls might play the Gillespie girls, and then the Carlinville boys might play the Gillespie boys back-to-back. And that's really helped our attendance, and I think that's been a nice change, too.
There was really a great atmosphere for that championship night this past year, too. That was a lot of fun.
There's a lot of people. You know, it helps our tournament when Carlinville is in the final. And so, you know, Litchfield brought all kinds of people, given that their girls and their boys. No, I have that wrong, don't I? Who was in our boys' final?
Yeah, it was Litchfield.
Was it Litchfield?
Girls and boys, yeah.
Litchfield versus Gillespie. Okay, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, and so they brought a lot of fans, and, you know, the Gillespie fans really all year on the boys' side brought some great fans. And so you're right, we had a full gym, and whenever you have a full gym on championship night, it's exciting.
Can you talk a little bit, maybe perhaps you know, perhaps you don't know, what how the formation of the Carlinville Gillespie fan section
at the county tournament.
Well, yeah, that, and then carried over into the a couple regular season games, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think what happened was they just accidentally sat next to each other.
All great things.
Yeah, during the girls' final, you know, it just so happened that the Southwestern boys and girls were both in the county final, and so it got to where I think, you know, our students and the Gillespie students, like I said, just sort of ended up sitting next to each other, and so they started cheering for each other's teams, and it was just sort of funny. The following Thursday when we played Litchfield, Lincolnwood, and at Litchfield in just a regular season conference game, we had Gillespie students come to cheer us on, and so I don't know that it's a lasting thing, it worked out. It was kind of neat.
I was surprised that it carried over post county because I was at that game that night, and I thought, huh. That's strange. They're still doing it, but it was a very cool thing.
It was the Blue Mine crew?
Mine Shaft? No, you might be right.
I don't know.
Something like
called,
that.
They had a name
one
for themselves.
One of those two is right.
So if you got a name for themselves, it must be official.
So you're talking about, of course, you played Litchfield in the Holiday Tournament Championship in that regular season game. I believe three of your five losses this year were to Litchfield.
We had six losses, three of them to Litchfield, two of them to Southwestern, yeah. Lost an early game to Vandalia in the Litchfield tournament. But, yeah, five of our six losses were to those two teams.
And we always talk so much about, you know, matchups and then draws in the postseason really have a long way to go. And Litchfield was just one of those teams. They didn't seem to be a good matchup for you guys. They were a tough match for a lot of people, but your team specifically.
Well, you know, our biggest advantage against most of our opponents really was our size. And so we won a lot of games due to our rebounding and defense and so on. Litchfield, you know, matched us in size. And so we had to find other ways to score and that we weren't used to. They were able to rebound right with us, that sort of thing. Things that we were generally dominating against our other opponents, we couldn't necessarily dominate for Litchfield. And so, you know, you're right. Matchups are everything. We had a situation where a couple girls from Litchfield had hot nights. You know, in the holiday tournament, Tessa Steffens had a very, very good game and had a hard time guarding her. We had a little foul trouble, and so matchups are, as you know, everything. And you know, they'll be talking about that the next couple weeks in the NCAA tournament. Everything is matchups, and there's a lot of truth to it. That's why they talk about it.
Yeah, Illinois won't be in that tournament. No. Wet the bed the other day. Yeah. Terrible.
I'm an ISU fan. I'm sort of hoping that Illinois State and U of I will end up playing each other in the NIT.
Oh, they were so close, too.
Yeah, that was,
they were right there.
They were up,
the
what,
18?
18
yeah,
point
lead? 18 point in the first half there against Northern Iowa. Mm. So
after they knocked off Wichita State, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That young man from Northern Iowa, that Tuttle, he can play. He's yes. Talk about matchup troubles. he can score on you one-on-one inside, but, boy, if you double-team him, he is going to pass out of that double-team, and they got some shooters. So Northern Iowa could be one of those teams that really does well in the NCAA.
Speaking of Wichita State, wouldn't it be something if Wichita State was the team to knock off Kentucky, give them their first loss this year after last year? Yeah, last year Kentucky handed them their first loss.
And, they might wind up in that 8-9 seed range, too. So.
Yeah.
I think the people that make the brackets, they've been known to have a sense of humor a time or two before, so that that could happen.
Yeah.
Either that or drinking a lot.
Well, you know, they got a lot to do, Terry. A lot to do and not a lot of time to do it.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Got to go double shots. We'll have Cardinal Baseball on the radio today. They are playing the Brewers. We'll have it live 11:45 this morning on AM 1540. Of course, we'll just get through healthy, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Man. But Darren's a White Sox fan.
Absolutely.
And I asked
this
him.
This is their year.
Of course. You're not a Cubs fan, Darren.
Well, even so.
It's their year.
Well, it's supposed to be by the Back to the Future thing or whatever. Yeah.
That's right. So Back to the Future too.
I'd go for a White Sox-Cubs World Series. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But before we went on the air, I asked you, so do you believe Chris Sale's story about getting hurt and jumping out of the pickup truck? Your answer was short.
No, I don't think so. who knows what happened? But, he did break his leg somehow. But I don't know if he did it just jumping out of his truck with the grocery bags. But who knows?
It's amazing how athletes, no matter the level, high school, college, pro, they can just wind up hurting themselves in just normal everyday stuff. Apparently they're human like regular people. They can get hurt doing normal things.
There have been, and I say fantastic loosely, but there have been some fantastic, like, odd injuries in baseball specifically. With you mentioned off the air, John Smoltz, probably the all-time greatest unconventional injury when he burned his chest while ironing the jersey he was wearing.
Oops.
Yeah. I always thought the tarp attack on Vince Coleman was the top of the list.
Well, that's got to be the most ironic, that the fastest guy in the game got caught by a tarp. What was that tarp doing?
It was
a mile an hour?
Maybe.
Every now and then you hear about a guy hurting himself sneezing.
Yeah. I think that was Sammy Sosa did that.
Sammy Sosa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to watch out for that.
That's tough.
It's a big sneeze.
Yeah. Some guys have hurt themselves high-fiving each other in the dugout.
Well, speaking of high-fiving, the Brewers have outlawed high-fiving to try to curb the pink eye epidemic they got going through their clubhouse. Yeah. That's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
Little pink eye to get you going.
And high-fiving and handshakes, a big thing in baseball, Major League Baseball.
It is.
They got to alter their complete routine.
Maybe that's just part of the speed-up rules.
Yeah, it could be.
Sorry, no high-fiving. No.
How's that been going?
I don't know.
Well, I read on one of the reports we got from Ann Carroll the other day, the umpires forced the Cardinals to stay in the dugout for the first time, or not the dugout, to stay in the batter's box the first time this spring, rather than stepping out of the batter's box after every pitch. So
that'll last about a week.
Yeah, this is going to go well. This is going to go real well. The first time David Ortiz has a blow up, that'll be that.
Yeah.
Best thing to do is call strikes.
That would do it.
That speeds up the game. That speeds up the game much more than anything else.
Call Make them swing the bat. That's right.
Get that Mac truck strike zone.
There you go.
That's what you get at the high school level. You know, you get that big zone, and kids know if I don't swing the bat, I'm turning around and going to the dugout.
And you know, pace of play is a problem league wide, but it's huge with the Yankees Red Sox games because those two teams, even when they're both in, you know, fighting for fourth and fifth in the AL East. They think, you know, this is the world. This is ALCS Game 7. So we gotta play as slowly as possible because every pitch counts. We want to get fourth place.
Stroke of midnight. They're approaching the seventh inning stretch. Yeah. We're almost there.
Yeah.
They could just make a limit on how many times you could put a relief pitcher in.
They've talked about that.
Yeah. That's really what slows it down more than anything. Once you get to the seventh inning, and I understand the strategy. But, boy, it didn't used to be that way. That's really why the game was faster, you know, 25 years ago.
They're talking about a relief pitcher having to pitch to two batters before being removed.
That'd be all right with me.
Well, it would kind of work out for this, Pat Vendetti, I think is his name.
The ambidextrous
guy? Yeah, the ambidextrous pitcher for the A's with one glove.
So, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He's a natural lefty, but he can pitch right-handed as well.
Like, I don't know the rules. Could he switch?
Sure.
Like within a batter, if you
no,
want
they,
him
they,
to.
No, they came up with a rule specifically for him. He's
specifically
gotta,
for him.
Yeah, he's got to, because he was doing it in college and everything. He was switching, and for switch hitters, got the batters was like literally walking batter's box to batter's box, until the umpire said, "Okay, you got to stay here, and you've got to choose a side to throw from." And they've made a rule that he's got to pitch.
Now see,
a side.
And that's wrong. The guy ought to be able to pitch however he wants to pitch.
It's an advantage.
Yeah,
it's a skill set that he has.
Yeah.
Huh.
So, got him to the major leagues.
Yeah.
See if it keeps him there. Could make him a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
There'll be a TV movie about him.
Well, you know that.
Yeah.
You know that.
Probably on Lifetime or something.
Or Disney Channel. One of the two. Maybe they can combine.
Lifetime Disney Channel.
Yeah. One can have the original, the other can have the sequel.
Sure.
There you go.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in a moment.
And before we return to the guys, a couple of reminders. There'll be a pork patty and butterfly pork chop sale at Randy's Market in Gillespie to benefit the Cole Country Sports Complex. And the Lincolnwood High School baseball team will be selling pork patties beginning at 11 this morning at the corner of Route 48 and Broad Street. And that money there will benefit the Lincolnwood High School baseball team. Now back to Tim Mize, Dave Jenkins, and Coach Darren Denis.
Thank you, T-Tote. The 1A and 2A boys state basketball finals are today. And it'll be Mounds Meridian and Brimfield in 1A. And in 2A, it'll be St. Teresa and Chicago Uplift for the championships in Peoria. Congratulations to Marcus Chaussey, who was honorable mention for Class 1A All-State. So congratulations to Mr. Chaussey of Nokomis.
Tim, another thing before we get away. Today, the Hillsboro and Lincolnwood girls' 7th grade volleyball teams are at state. Hillsboro's playing St. Joseph at Moroa Forsyth High School at 11:15. Lincolnwood's battling Liberty at 11:15 at Decatur Lutheran. Should they win the quarterfinal game, both of them will play at 1 o'clock in the semifinals. So good luck to the Dragons and the Knights.
Yes. Was there something else going on as well?
Litchfield Scholastic Bowl team.
The Scholastic Bowl. At Carlinville has the,
yeah,
the sectional.
It's at Carlinville. Yeah.
Carlinville,
yeah.
Litchfield, Southwestern are all there.
That's right.
And Modern Day.
I was just going to say there's one more team, but yeah.
Modern Day. So there you go. The defending champs are in action.
Now, Darren, is the process for Scholastic Bowl postseason the same as it is for basketball? You guys are going to be having a softball regional coming up this spring as well. Is it all like the same process of just putting in for the postseason events that you would like, and then the IIHS just say sorts it out from there?
Yes, there's a survey you fill out online, and you volunteer, I guess is the way to put it, to host whatever IHSA event, you know, that you're able to host, that you'd like to host. And so we get Scholar Bowl sectionals a lot.
As you should. I've never understood why you guys don't have some sort of basketball postseason, whether it be a regional or a sectional, every year. You guys know how to run a tournament.
Well,
you got the gym and you got the parking.
They used to get sectionals and super sectionals all the time.
Yeah,
in the girls
exactly.
Tournament.
But,
yeah.
You know, when I was coaching at McMurray College, you know, I was the men's basketball coach, and I can remember going to sectionals at Carlinville every other year. It seemed like there was always either at Carlinville or at Petersburg-Pora. And, of course, that was when there was two-class basketball. And since there's been four-class basketball, for whatever reason, we don't get as many, you know, postseason assignments as we used to. We did have a regional last year for boys. We've had a couple of girls' sectionals. As Terry said, I know that this is before my time, too, but we used to get girls' basketball super sectionals.
Oh, supers all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time.
Because
you'd have Quincy Notre Dame and Williamsville and, you know, Litchfield and Greenville coming in there. And great matchups, packed house.
If I'm not mistaken, when Carlinville girls went to state in the early 80s, they won the super sectional at Carlinville.
Yes, they did.
If I'm not mistaken.
1980.
80?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With Andrea Falter,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy to host tournaments. I mean, there's so much stuff that goes into it behind the scenes, and everyone at Carlinville, you know a thing or two about hosting a tournament, because I think a lot of times people forget you basically run two tournaments at once during Christmas.
With the boys and girls, yeah. We have some experience with that. We host a lot of soccer tournaments, more than some people do. We host some big cross-country races, et cetera. I was talking with Mike Bertinoli at the county tournament in Gillespie, actually, and he was saying, "Boy, Darren, I don't know, should we put in for a boys basketball regional?" And I said, "Mike, hosting the county is really a lot harder than hosting a boys basketball regional. I mean, we're talking at the county, it's 24 games, When you host a boys basketball regional, if you had six teams, you're hosting five games, and so there's really no comparison. If you can host the county tournament or the holiday tournament or whatever, you can absolutely you can figure out a way to get a regional or a sectional under control.
Yeah, I would think the few days after you host the county is kind of just relax for a moment.
Yeah, we've only hosted it once in my time. We have it again, not next year, but the year after, and it's a long week, that's for sure. But you know, it's just like the holiday basketball tournament. Those are you know, 13-14 hour days for us, 4 days in a row. And so while you like hosting the tournament and it's nice to have it in your town, when it's over, you're happy to have a day off.
So you've got the county in 2 years, is what you're saying?
Yes. Next year it's at Southwestern. The year after that is in Carlinville. The year after that is the 100th county tournament, and I think it's at North Mac, but you shouldn't quote me on
that. I think you're correct.
Yeah.
So, I think so. Carlinville, North Mac. We got it. Write it down. That's where it's at the next 3 years. From the source.
Don't worry. Don't worry, Dave.
I'm sure of the next two.
We'll forget it in 10 minutes, Dave.
That'll be fine.
We will have the Cardinals coming up 11:45 this morning on AM 1540. Redbirds taking on the Brew Crew today, so hopefully the Cardinals can get out with attracting any pink eye.
They've got the Brewers again tomorrow, too.
Uh-oh.
So. Home and home.
You know, I've always thought that's a nice thing with the Cardinals being down in Florida. They play the Brewers, but I think that's the only division team they wind up playing in spring training. The rest of them are out in Arizona.
Aren't the Pirates in Florida still? Or no?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I can't think of the Cardinals really playing the Pirates too much in spring. It seems like they play the Nationals and the Marlins for half their spring training games. And the Mets.
And, I mean, they play the Marlins like five or six times because they share a facility.
I saw something yesterday. I had it on during lunch on the MLB Network. And they said that at Roger Dean Stadium, of course, the Cardinals share that complex with the Marlins, that if you want to go and watch like spring training batting practice, they charge you $5 to get in the park. How is that possible? It's free.
Tim?
During the regular season.
Tim. Well, I mean, you're still buying a...
It's America.
You're buying a ticket to get to the game.
You're buying a ticket to get in the spring training game. Those aren't free.
Yeah. So, wait.
You got your ticket to the spring training game.
Yeah, so what you're saying is if you have a ticket to the spring training game, you have to pay an additional $5.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I thought you were saying, you know, if you want to just...
If they had a day
early,
off.
And now, I didn't catch the detail of the story if it was... the Marlins and the Cardinals. It seems like a very Marlins type of move to me because I've got Giancarlo Stanton and people want to watch him take batting practice. So it seems very Marlins-esque to me.
Gotta
it doesn't seem like something the Cardinals
somehow.
Would do. Got to pay off the new stadium. That's exactly right. The taxpayers are getting testy.
Oh, my. Yeah, that's a very Marlins thing.
Yeah, so five extra dollars. You want to watch Stanton? Give me a five.
The Cardinals are really that hard up for cash.
I don't think they are. Yeah. I don't think they are. They just funnel it straight to Hayward.
Yeah, pretty much they should. Where it's going to go.
You know, Stan, I saw him batting yesterday. He had that face mask, like the K's coming across.
He and Hayward both, that may set a new trend.
I don't know why you wouldn't. I mean, you see it all the time in softball. You know, you see softball players that will have the face mask on, even sometimes at third base or the pitcher because they get so close or wear that. But, boy, that just seems to be so taboo for Major League Baseball.
Peer pressure.
And, I mean, speaking,
that's what it's about.
Yep.
Speaking of that, actually, Major League Baseball yesterday approved the protective headgear for pitchers. So,
oh, that semi, like the hard hat?
I don't know if it's a hard hat. I think it's just padding underneath a regular baseball cap. It may be a bigger baseball cap, but it's the same baseball cap. It's just padding underneath. A lot of padding. I mean, it's a lot. It's a huge hat, but it's a prototype, I guess.
And they got to be proactive.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I don't see anybody wanting to wear that.
We'll see. We'll see. It'll start with the guys who have already been hit in the face by a line drive, or hit somewhere.
But that won't protect the face.
Right, it won't protect your face.
Yeah, that won't protect the face at all.
But although getting hit in the temple is probably the real
probably
dangerous.
Worse. Yeah.
But I don't see, you know, unless they can vent that thing. You know, you get out a St. Louis July day afternoon game. I don't know if the pitcher's going to want to wear a hat that has extra padding in it.
It'll have to have a battery pack with a fan in it.
There you go.
It may look a lot like cricket here. The guys who play cricket, the gear that they wear.
God, don't say that, Dave. Don't say that.
They wear full face masks throughout the field.
They do, yeah.
I didn't sign up to play to watch, talk about cricket. You did? I don't know anything about cricket.
You should have read the fine print of the email, right? Darren.
Did you watch Million Dollar
Run? I got to look at my contract. I don't know where it is.
That's exactly right. Hey, have you gotten your email situation straightened out for today in Carlinville Athletics?
I think so. Yesterday, I believe we got it all sent out and everybody was able to get it. I've been getting a couple hundred back every day saying that it was undeliverable, but it's all right. I think our computer guys are on it and everything's going to go well. So.
And Darren, before we let you go, the Spring Cup coming up at Blackburn,
yep.
Soccer, you've got some good matchups there.
We do.
I think, Tim, you have the brackets in there.
Well, that would be great. That way I wouldn't have to memorize it. I know that we have Staunton on the first day, Greenville is coming as well, and they play Pleasant Plains in the first round. Civic Memorial, who is one of the better teams there, plays Springfield Southeast. Bloomington Central Catholic, and then Beardstown is the first year there in our soccer tournament this year.
Great tournament.
So it's everybody plays one game on next Friday afternoon, and then on Saturday everybody will play two games. It's your favorite, Terry. It's got a bracket.
There you go.
And
remember, it's not a real tournament if it doesn't have brackets.
And in soccer, you know, if there's a better chance of ties than really any other sport. And so if you go and watch at Blackburn, you'll probably see at least one penalty kick shootout, which is always pretty exciting. But, we have all of our sports really are starting to kick into high gear starting next weekend. Our softball girls are at a tournament in North Mac. Our baseball guys are going to go play a couple games in Jacksonville at Lenz Field on the turf. Track is already kind of going with the indoor season. And so, everything is revving up pretty quickly.
I'm still trying to convince management here that we need to have the WISME Dome where we can, do things year-round, outdoor activities year-round. But I haven't really had much success.
I think I'd be in favor of that. Spring sports is fun once the weather gets nice. But, boy, there's a...
They're brutal.
It's tough to be an AD, that's for sure, in terms of the scheduling and rescheduling and the weather and all that stuff.
Well, the biggest problem you have is finding a date and getting officials, right?
Oh, sure. Most of these events in the spring, they start at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and, these officials, they have real jobs.
Yeah.
at least a lot of them do. Some of them are retired guys. But it's hard to get, if we have a baseball, softball game at home, we'll have a varsity baseball game, a JV baseball game, and a softball game, and we need to find six umpires to show up in Carlinville at 4:30. And that's a challenge, that's for sure.
I just hire some people from the stands. They seem to know what's going on.
They always get it right.
Why don't you guys go over here and do the JV game for us, okay?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of advice in every town and every stands.
I guess the question that everyone at Carlinville, student, faculty alike, wants to know, are you guys going to be going to school in June this year?
Well, it's possible. With the snow days and so on, I think it's possible.
I'm sure that was the answer everyone was looking for.
I know.
That's exactly, you just broke everyone's heart.
I don't think it's a secret, so it's okay.
Darren, thank you so much for coming in for Pi Day, and once again, the mnemonic device to remember.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
The device.
Oh, you want it again?
Yes.
Oh, how I want to drink alcoholic, of course, after the heavy lectures involving quantum mechanics.
Happy Pi Day.
Just rolls off the tongue.
For Team Tone, David Jenkins, and Darren Deneve, I'm Tim Mahi. Sports Saturday is done on Pi Day on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville.